Our scripture reading will come from two different places this morning. The first place from the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel comes after Ezekiel. Well, I'll read from Daniel 4. We're going to refer to chapter 6 later, but let's read that from Daniel 4, the first verse, and then we'll read a portion from Philemon. And we've been working through a series of the book of Philemon, and we'll be focusing on verse 3 of Philemon. But let's first read from Daniel 4, verse 1. This is the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. Then I want to read from the book of Philemon. Philemon comes right before the book of Hebrews and is the last letter of the Apostle Paul, last in the list that we have in our Bibles. Philemon, I'll read the verses 1 through 3. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Articus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from the book of Daniel and Philemon. Well, this week the vice president of the United States went on a trip to the Middle East. And the news reports indicate that as he went on his trip, he went off to try to drum up support from various Arab nations for the support of a possible war in Iraq. And as Mr. Cheney went off to do his work, he takes on the role, even though he is vice president, he takes on the role of an ambassador of the United States. As he meets with the various kings, the various leaders of the various nations, he speaks for the United States. The president of the United States has equipped him and given him a particular message, which is from the government of the United States. And as he speaks, as he interacts, he speaks on behalf of that government, on behalf of that president, with authority of the president and the country behind him. A message he brings from the most powerful nation in the world to many smaller nations. And as he goes to those smaller nations to enlist their help, he has to offer them promises. Now, the promises that he has been offering vary depending on the nation. Some of the nations, in order to receive their support for such a war, perhaps it is the promise of the lifting of sanctions. For other nations, perhaps it is the promise of money or supplies or help in some other way. But if they are going to offer their support to the United States and listen to the ambassador, to the messenger from the president, they will have to want something as a promise or a guarantee in return. Well, this is similar to what we see this morning in the book of Daniel and in the book of Philemon. In the book of Daniel, as Nebuchadnezzar begins his letter, he writes as the most powerful man in the world. He writes as the leader of the most powerful nation in the world. And he sends this letter off to, it tells us in verse 1, the peoples, the nations, and the men of every language who live in all the world. This letter is sent out through a messenger, through an ambassador. And as he carries that letter, he carries the authority of King Nebuchadnezzar himself in the words that are said, in the words that will be given to the nations and to the people all over the world who receive it. And just like we were discussing with Vice President Cheney, he also offers to them a promise. Only this is more than a promise. This is a guarantee that he will give them. And that promise, that guarantee, is in the salutation to that letter, where he writes at the end of verse 1, "May you prosper greatly." Now, some of your translations have, "May your peace abound." Whatever it is, he is wishing the prosperity or the peace upon those who receive this letter, upon those nations who are his vassals, who are his royal subjects. He bestows upon them the promise of peace and prosperity. As the king of Babylon, as the most powerful man in the world, who has subjects of various nations throughout the world, he offers to them the promise of peace, the promise of prosperity. And that promise of peace and prosperity is guaranteed by his life. As king, and as long as he rules as king, those nations can know and understand that as he lives, they will experience the peace and prosperity. As long as they act as royal subjects to him, as long as they do not rebel against him, they will experience the prosperity and peace of Babylon itself. But what if something happens to Nebuchadnezzar? What if Nebuchadnezzar is no longer king? If Nebuchadnezzar is no longer king, those nations may no longer experience the prosperity and peace. Another nation may not treat them so peacefully. And so the promise of this salutation is guaranteed on the life of the king who sends it. And later on, as you go to chapter 6, Nebuchadnezzar is no longer king of Babylon. His son Belshazzar becomes king. The Medes and the Persians come upon them. And now when you get to the end of chapter 6, a letter goes out from King Darius. Daniel 6, verse 25. "Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and the men of every language throughout the land, 'May you prosper greatly.'" Now the peace and the prosperity comes from a different king. It is bound to the king of another nation who has replaced King Nebuchadnezzar. King Darius of the Medes and the Persians promises prosperity and peace. Well, as you go to the book of Philemon and you read verse 3 of the book of Philemon, there is a message and a promise going out from God. Philemon verse 3 reads, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice the New Testament language that's being used here. This is not the Old Testament, which is limited to God our Father as God speaks to his people. But the letter is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul uses the word Lord, he is describing the victorious Lord. He is describing the Lord Jesus who has come down to this earth, who has conquered sin and death, who has been resurrected from the grave, and who now sits on high as Lord and as King of all the universe. And the Apostle Paul, who writes this letter, is his messenger. The Apostle Paul was commissioned by Jesus himself, the resurrected Lord, in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. Jesus told him that he would be his messenger. Paul would be his messenger to bring the gospel, to bring the word of the Lord throughout the world. And now, as Paul writes this letter to Philemon, he, as the ambassador of the Lord Jesus, is sending out a message from the highest authority known. It comes from the very throne room of God, from God's presence in heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God Himself. And this message goes out to the people, to His royal subjects. Now think for a moment. If Vice President Cheney went out this week and he could say to the various kings and leaders of those nations, "I have a message from God. I have a message from heaven itself. I have a message from the Lord Jesus, who is in control of this entire world and everything that happens in it and of all your lives." That'd be a pretty powerful message, wouldn't it? Well, we can think of Vice President Cheney with a message from the President of the United States, a powerful man. But how much even more powerful that message if it comes from the throne room of God and from Jesus Christ Himself. And notice who this message is sent to, this letter to Philemon. Is it sent to the various leaders and kings of the world? Is it sent to the emperor of Rome? Is it sent to powerful men who could dictate the future of mankind here on this world? It tells us in verse 1 that this letter is sent to Philemon. And at the end of the verse, it tells us to the church that meets in his home. Who are the royal subjects of Christ as he sends this message? Who are those who are important to him? Is it powerful kings and powerful rulers? No, this letter is sent to Philemon and a house church, a group of people that gather in somebody's living room and worship the Lord in the most faithful way that they know how as they seek to live for him. If you were to walk into their town, most people in that town probably wouldn't know who they are or where this church was or who these people are. Yet the ambassador of the Lord of the universe is sending a message to them. The message is out to these church people who love Christ and who desire to serve him, no matter how insignificant they are or seem to the world around them. Now, I often have people ask me, how big is the Orthodox Presbyterian Church? And we have to say that the OPC has about 22,000 members. And if you compare it to many other denominations in this country, it would seem perhaps small and insignificant. When we gather here for worship this morning, we look around us and we see about 50 people, about 50 members, and maybe a little more. There's bigger churches in town. This is a church that began in a shop, later moved to a conference room, and now is in a rented facility. We have a church sign, and that's about it. Yet, this message that comes from the Lord Jesus is sent to a church of believers. It doesn't matter how big the church is or how many people belong to that church. What this message is telling us, as it goes out from the apostle, as it goes out to you who are listening to it here on this day, the people that are important to the Lord of the universe are you, his royal subjects. His message from the throne room of heaven is to you, because to the Savior, you are who is important to him and to this message. Well, not only does the message go out from the apostle, but you also see in verse 3 that there is promises, that there are things that are bestowed and guaranteed, sent from heaven along with this message. Verse 3, the apostle declares, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace from heaven itself. Now, someone might think, perhaps this grace and peace the apostle is describing is like the first time grace and peace that comes to a believer. Someone who has to know salvation for the first time and they experience the grace of Christ and the forgiveness of sins and the peace of God that comes along with that. But you see, as the apostle writes this letter, he's not writing to a group of people who have never come to believe in Christ or are hearing it for the first time. He's writing to a house church, to a group of people who belong to the church and who consider themselves Christians as they gather in Philemon's home. And so when the apostle sends out grace and peace from the throne room of God, he is sending out a continuing grace and peace, which only God can give. But what kind of grace is this? Turn with me to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. In Psalm 31, King David, Psalm 31, verse 19, King David is writing and reflecting upon the goodness and the grace of God. And all through King David's life, as he thinks where he is, whether he's running from Saul, whether he's off fighting in war, or his enemies surround him, he always reflects on the presence and the place of the Lord. For in the Lord's presence there is grace. In the Lord's presence there is peace. And in Psalm 31, verse 19, he writes this, "How great is your goodness." Literally, the word for Hebrew is grace. How great is your grace. But the author, as they translate it, wants us to see that this is not the first time grace of salvation, but grace also includes the Lord's goodness. The Lord's goodness, which verse 19 tells us, which you have stored up for those who fear you. You see, the grace that the apostle sends from the throne room of God is grace that is stored up in heaven for the believer. Grace which comes from heaven and is bestowed upon those who believe in Christ. And as the apostle sends his message, he sends a message of the grace and the goodness of God which comes upon those who fear him. Verse 19 of Psalm 31 goes on to say, "Which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you." All those who believe in Christ, all those who take refuge in him, experience the grace and the goodness of God. The grace and the goodness of God, which is bestowed upon all those who believe him, on all those who serve him. Now, each month, as a congregation, as we receive the Lord's Supper, following that supper, we receive a benevolence offering. And that benevolence offering is placed in a fund for visitors or those who may come to us out of need and need help with a financial situation or something they need to have, whatever the circumstances. And so what is stored up by the church is used and poured out as benevolence to those in need. So it is with God. His grace in heaven is stored up for us. It is poured out to us in times of need when we need him. And it comes from heaven itself. Now, some of you have been receiving the emails this week from the Berquist as the various stages of information was coming out. Over and over, they have reflected on how the goodness and the grace of God has been expressed to them. The congregation has provided them cards, food, help in whatever way they can. Knowing that others are praying for them has blessed them and strengthened them during this difficult time. On Monday morning, they have to go in. And they know that as the stitch is removed to prevent the infection, their little baby inside isn't going to live. How can somebody get through something like that? All the sadness, all the pain, it's the grace of God. The grace of God which comes from heaven, which is bestowed upon them. The grace of God as it is given to them through the power of the resurrected Lord. The hope and the knowledge that there is life even in death, as that grace comes from heaven to God's saints, to those in need. Well, not only does Paul write of the grace of God, which is coming to believers from heaven, but he writes of the peace of God. What kind of peace is this? The apostle reflected on this peace earlier in the book of Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians 4, as you come to verse 7, Paul tells us this, actually verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As the apostle writes these words in Philippians, just like the book of Philemon, he is in a Roman prison. And he comes to the point in his life where nothing causes him to fear. He's not anxious about his life. He's not anxious about the future or what's going to happen to him. Because the peace of God has come upon him. Because he knows his Savior, because the Lord has saved him and delivered him from sin and death, nothing in this world can cause him to fear. He is secure in the Lord. That's the kind of peace that God sends to us. That's the kind of peace of which Paul writes at the beginning of his salutation to the letter of Philemon. It is the kind of peace that no matter what goes on in your life, no matter what happens, you're not anxious. Because this is a peace which transcends all understanding of what you could know. For in him you have eternal peace. There are some here this morning concerned about their job situation, concerned about their health, concerned about relatives and their health. Some wonder what they're going to do. But the peace of God, which comes from heaven, is a peace which should cause you not to be filled with anxiety. Oh, you may face consequences and difficulties in this world, but the peace of God that is your salvation in Christ is secure forever in him. You see, this grace and peace is God's guarantee. As Nebuchadnezzar sent his letter, he sent the guarantee of peace and prosperity that was connected with his life and his being king in that nation. As God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ send their grace and peace from the throne, may you know that that grace and peace is connected to them and who they are and their glory. For that grace and peace to be removed from believers, God would have to no longer be Father and Jesus no longer be Lord. Well, that's impossible, isn't it? God is always going to be Father. Jesus Christ is always going to be Lord. And as the creators of this world and the universe, nothing could possibly change that. Well, you know what? The grace which is bestowed upon you from heaven, and the peace of God which is bestowed upon you from heaven, that is guaranteed to you. As sure as the Father will remain Father, as surely as the Lord Jesus will remain Lord. It cannot be taken away. For this King, for this Lord, for this God is eternal and forever. Just as you belong to Him and experience His grace and peace eternally and forever. As Dick Cheney set out on his journey this week, he had an important task and an important message. And that message carried a lot of authority. The word from the President of the United States, word from the most powerful nation and government and military in the world. Yet as he went out, before he even met with his first representative, there was the possibility of failure. There's no guarantees as he went out, no matter how powerful he is, no matter how powerful our country is. But as Paul writes his message to a house church, to a group of believers who belong to Christ, to those who are important to him, his royal subjects, this grace and peace, this message of a resurrected Lord, is guaranteed and forever and assured. May God's grace and peace be bestowed upon you. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we have read from your word and listened to your ambassador, we've seen the power of your grace and peace. For we are your royal subjects, and this message has gone out to us. And we pray that as your people, you would help us to know and understand this grace and peace, that you would cause us not to worry about our lives or the future, that you would cause us to rest in you and the peace that only you can give. We pray that your grace would always be bestowed upon us. We're thankful for the knowledge that it is stored up for us, for whenever we need it, it will be given because of our Savior. May we always recognize that we are important to you, that we are your royal subjects, that as you speak to us from heaven itself, your message carries the weight of the Lord of the universe, who can never change and whose grace and peace can never change. May we give praise to you for the wonderful love you have shown us. May we as your people live out this grace and peace, and may you use it in us as we also bestow it on others. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.